Well, a God morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. To those who may not have been with us for a while, who might say, why do you say God morning? Because there's none good but God. And thereby and therefore, I wish you a God morning. Welcome back. We have, for the last several weeks, been speaking using the title, The God Spiel. This word in the English, gospel, as I have said many times now, comes out of the German. The word in the Greek translated gospel is evangelion. Properly, it's translated good news. Came from the high authority when the high authority had good news. It was called Evangelion. But that's not where we get our English word gospel. We get that word gospel from the German, and it's Gottspiel, God speaking. I like both the good news, but I like even more this understanding of our English word, God, spiel, God talking, God's word, God spoke, God speaking. I thought I was finished going through this series using the text of the epistle of Paul to the Romans, but I'm not. I want to go on because there's just wonderful understanding that's been left on the table if we just closed out at the 8th chapter. So let's jump to the 9th chapter of Romans. Paul says, opening, he says, I say the truth in Christ. In Christ, I lie not. What he's saying is, this is not a cheap word I'm about to give you. He says, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. You know, I'm not a highly educated man. I am educated by the grace of God in His Word. And, you know, we use this word conscience all the time, you know. Doesn't your conscience bother you? You know, that little thing on your shoulder saying, your conscience, should you do this? This word in the Greek mainly has to do with perception. And in this Christian walk, we are to have that which is called the gift of repentance. And that is a word that's so misunderstood. The word repentance in the Greek is metanoia. It means an after or a new mind. It means an after or a new perception. And, oh, that God would open the eyes of his children that they might have the right perception of God our Father and of Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. Paul goes on to say that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites. You know, Paul knows what he's talking about here. He didn't say Jews. He said Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God. That's in italics. That's their ceremonies, their religious duties, if you will, and the promises. Whose are what? All the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises. Whose are the fathers, and of whom concerning the flesh Christ came, because God said that's how Christ would come. As concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Oh, we say that all the time. Oh, you know, God bless you. If you have ears, if God has given you ears to hear, come with me into the true meaning of this word spoken by Paul in this fifth verse of the ninth chapter of the book of Romans, where he says, God blessed forever. Amen. The word in the Greek is eulogetos, root of the word is logos. We say, we read in John 1:1 that in the beginning, the logos, word, was with God. Now that speaks of Jesus Christ. But right now I want to stay with this word, eulogetos. Eulogetos. It's an adjective, folks. adjectives give fuller meaning to what's being expressed. You find a word, I think it's like 8 times in the New Testament Greek. Listen to this. In Mark 14:61, speaking at one of the trials of Jesus, but Jesus held his peace and answered nothing. And again, the high priest asked him, these are the accusers of Christ. Listen, and said unto him, art thou the Christ, son of the Eulogetos? Even these accusers, if you can imagine, accusers of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, understood or had some understanding and said, art thou the Christ, the Son of the good speaking? In Luke 1:68, upon his presentation in the temple, a prophet said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. He has visited and redeemed his people. Blessed, eulogetos. In the first chapter of the book of Romans, the 25th verse, it says, speaking of the world and its traditions, which are always attempting to pervert God, that is, put God aside and magnify their own traditions. And we're in a Christmas season, and man, oh man, does this season which is full of its traditions, which have but a seed of truth, that is, the coming of Messiah, that's the seed. All the rest is traditions of men. And Jesus himself said, by your traditions, you make void the word of God. So Romans 1:25, speaking of those people who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, speaking of God, who is blessed forever. Amen. Ninth chapter of Romans, we're here. Whose are the fathers? Speaking of all those rites, ceremonies, testaments, promises. And of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came. The Old Testament records, the New Testament testimony in Matthew and in Luke, documenting through whom Christ came, who, speaking of Christ, who is overall God blessed forever, eulogetos, or eulogetos if you like. 2 Corinthians 1:3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Paul invokes both God and Jesus in this 2 Corinthians 11:31, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed, eulogetos, forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. And Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And finally in 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again. Born again, folks. Even with this repentant, properly understood, new mind, new perception, who has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We will never stop declaring that the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is the foundation and hope of Christianity. So, what is this eulogetos? What is this word-based word? As I said, it is an adjective. And if you will, it is a name of God. And what does it mean? It's a compound word, folks. You, E-U in the Greek, good. Eulogetos. Word, speaking, speech, words. The good speaking God. The good spiel. I do want to begin this thought into the minds of the people whom God has chosen for himself from before the foundation of the world. God is speaking good. To his called, to his chosen, to his church, to his children. How often in whatever denomination you might identify with, and denominations, they are not a creation of God. But in every denomination, God does have people that he has given ears to hear and eyes to see and a spirit to understand. And I'm talking to those people. God has good things to say, but at the same time, he has other things to say. Before we go on, one last comment on this fifth verse, on this word, eulogetos. God blessed forever. Amen. I had a conversation this last week with a man who is almost 80 years old, who has dedicated his life to the Word, who is as sincere a man as I've come across. We had had a conversation about a week earlier, and he called me. He said, "Don, you need to explain this word amen again to me, because I don't think I quite heard what you said last time." He said, "What's that definition? What's that synonym, if you will, to this word amen?" And I said, "No doubt." And went on to explain that, you know, wherein it says in the 15th chapter of Genesis, where God counted, it says, "And Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness." You know, that's an English translation. The Hebrew is, "And Abraham amened God." He had no doubt. The Bible uses this word amen. It's literally, folks, this word amen is the most transliterated word in any language. I don't care what language you speak. You have the word amen. And it might be amen. It may be amen, or whatever other, what's the word I want? emphasis you put on those letters. In the Hebrew, it is Aleph, Mem, Nun, A-M-N. In the Greek, the Aleph is not a vowel. And there are no vowels in the Hebrew. It's A-M-N, but we pronounce it Amen. It speaks of God, who is faithful. Literally, it is the Amen God. God has no doubt that what He speaks, it will be. Whether we see it today or not, it, when God speaks, it is. And we, through the gift of faith, have the opportunity to grab hold of what God said, the good speaking God, His promises, and hang on to them, sometimes even to a point where we have no doubt in His word, in spite of circumstance. And in this world, folks, I think it tougher and tougher for our amen to reach up to God's amen because of circumstance, because of chaos, because of the father of lies, because of the God of this world, because of what nature might do, or the outcome of nature might have on people, whether they be God's people or not. The scripture is very clear. The rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. Jesus said in Matthew 24:35, He says this: heaven and earth shall pass away, not by global warming, not by climate change. God said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words, here we have the word, the root, logos, my word shall not pass away. The word, what God says, it is eternal. And as we've said in this series, God chose out for himself in Christ before the foundations of the world for eternal purposes. And those purposes will be fulfilled because Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words, logos, shall not pass away. He says in the 6th verse, 9th chapter of Romans, not as though the word of God has taken none effect, for they, not all Israel, which are Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. If I can bring some understanding to what Paul just said here. He says, not all Israel, not for they are not all Israel, which are Israel. I'd say, for they are not all Christians, which are of Christ. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham. Abraham, you know, he had six sons by Keturah, but they weren't of Isaac. Isaac, he said. They weren't of Ishmael because God said through Sarah and the product of God's miracle with Abraham and 100 years old and Sarah, whose womb was as good as dead 90 years old, they had a baby, and his name was called Isaac. I'm going to throw this in. I see we're about to end this half-hour session on shortwave radio. If you want to hear all the message, you are invited to thegodschool.com. It's free. I'm not looking to get addresses. Listen, and if God has given you an ear to hear, you are to communicate with the one who's teaching you. Now let's go on. I'm going to throw this in for free. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac thy seed shall be called. So, we read in the scriptures how in his wrath, God allowed the Assyrians to overtake Israel, that is, the northern kingdom of Israel, that is, not the southern kingdom, the northern kingdom of Israel, called the House of Israel, as opposed to the southern kingdom of Israel, called the House of Judah. God allowed those people in the northern kingdom to be overtaken by the Assyrians, who rapidly moved them out from their homes in northern Israel and moved them to geographic borders with their enemies acting as buffers to those other enemies. I'm not going to go into all of it, but historical records, not biblical, historical, secular, not biblical, secular. You want witnesses to the veracity of the Word of God? Here's a witness. As archaeology came on the scene, and so after these northern tribes were conquered, overtaken, moved out of their homeland, we don't hear much, a little bit, of them anymore. And therefore, the tradition has come to call them the lost tribes of Israel. But it says of these people and the promises, and I'm attempting to witness that God's word, what he speaks, is eternal. So if we go to some historical records, when archaeology comes on the scene in the middle, early middle parts of the latter parts of the 18th century, beginning of the 19th century, late 1700s, early 1800s, archaeology, that science of discovering the past, they find such things as Darius, king of the Medo-Persian Empire. That's, you have the ascent of the Assyrian, then the ascent of the Babylonians, then the ascent of the Medo-Persians. So this is two, 300 years after the event of Sennacherib conquering the northern kingdom of Israel. You have his writings encased in what is called the Behistun stone. This is a relief carved into the side of a cliff, which Darius is giving an historical account. Listen to me, please. And in that account, he gives the account of this world event. But he does not call these people Israel. In the book of Hosea, which as we continue in this ninth chapter, we're going to encounter, God says he's going to hide them. Israel, that is. And these people come to be known as the lost tribes. But Darius gives an inscription in three different languages. And he calls these people, not Israel, but he calls them Sakasunai. It means sons of Isaac. In Isaac thy seed shall be called, it says in this sixth verse of the ninth chapter. Sakasunai, sons of Isaac. You say, Don, get to the point. Okay, I'm going to get to the point. Here it is. You want a transliteration of this word in the Chaldee of Sakasunai, sons of Isaac? We have it in our modern language. It's Saxon. Saxon. Sons of Isaac. And we will continue in this. Eulogetos, God, a name of God, the good speaking God, and we're going to continue in his word and show up that God does what he says he will do. Until next time. Grab hold of this name. The good speaking God. Because to his children, he does speak good words, and those words do bring comfort. And that's the God School for today.